sated our bodies with food, our patience with relatives, and our credit cards with debt. We who also are witnesses to God's coming toward us in the weak, unarmed wives of a baby, are finally left to wonder about what his birth means. To ask after the therefore of Christmas, not only for ourselves, but in these mean times, to ask urgently for the sake of the whole world. Luke leads us to do just that in the story of Jesus' first public appearance. When he was, he was more than 8 days old. They did the circumcision 8 days afterwards. And when it was the proper time, they went, hopefully after Mary was feeling a little bit better, they walked 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. But in the story, Luke's first therefore has to do with what I just told the children, with what Jesus' birth compels his parents to do. They travel to Jerusalem from the stable in Bethlehem and enter the temple to begin his life in the community that will tell him who he is. Luke wants his readers, especially his Gentile readers, to see from the beginning that salvation has come to us through a Jew whose mother engages in the ritual act of purification after his birth, and whose father spends shekels they do not have to buy 2 doves, a poor man's sacrifice on the occasion of Jesus' presentation to the priest. We read no less than 5 times that Mary and Joseph, of the house and the lineage of David, did everything required by the law except one ominous thing: the substitution offering to redeem their firstborn son from being sacrificed was missing. The therefore of Christmas for Luke was the cross. Because of Christ's birth, we also bring our children into the sanctuary to begin their lives in the midst of the people who will tell them who they are. If you are in the congregation for the first service on Christmas Eve, you know that is so. The God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt and who raised Jesus from the dead is their God too. Sunday after Sunday, we bring them to hear the story. The story of God's saving purposes as a counter story to the story they hear day in and day out. A story that glorifies violence and greed. A story that traffics in fear and hatred. In the waters of baptism, our ritual of presentation, their lives are marked with the sign and seal of new birth into a life that death cannot finally threaten or end. But because Christ was born, they also know in him the human being they were created to be and the human being they are destined to be. His vulnerability, his complete self-giving, his humility, the company he keeps with the outcast and the sinner, his outrageous justice, his love that never quits. This is the therefore of Christmas in a world that would tell our children otherwise, that would have them believe invulnerability entered our world, shared our experiences, love, joy, compassion, and intimate relationships, anger, sorrow, suffering, and tears. Because love came down at Christmas, the therefore of Christmas begins with who we know ourselves to be in Him, a particular Christian. striking about Simeon's song and emblematic of Luke's theological perspective is its declaration concerning the universal reach of God's saving grace. Echoing 2 Isaiah, Simeon anticipates the story Luke will tell, a story of Paul's call to take the gospel into the whole world, that is, to the Gentiles, to us. Because it is too light a thing that God's servant should raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel, that's not enough. I will give you, God says, through Isaiah, as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Because the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, because of that Word, we are those who have received our identity, a whole new life that death cannot end through this Holy Child. Yet it is an identity that sends us into the world as witnesses to a love that knows no end and that has no bounds, that reaches all the way back to Adam, even as it awaits those who have yet to be born. If our witness to such a love is the therefore of Christmas, what sort of witness to his light might pierce the dense darkness of our human divisions today? Well, I happened on one such witness as I sat with my family on Christmas Day evening. Each of us furtively and not so furtively checking our email. Included in an email to me from the New York Times on what we're reading, and those of you who are on Facebook already know this because I'm on Facebook now, but anyway, there was an article about the House of One, a combined mosque, synagogue, church that is said to be built on the site of a 13th century church in Berlin, one that was repeatedly destroyed and rebuilt until the Second World War. be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us. O God, may clean our hearts within us. O that our eyes might behold you, dear Savior of our lives, and our minds might know you, O wisdom from on high, and our hearts might adore you, tender shepherd of our wandering ways. O that our lives might turn toward you and see in you our salvation before we taste of death. Praise be to you for Simeon's words sung from generation to generation, for these stories told to change our lives and the lives of our children, for these characters who, through cataracts, would set our sights on your saving purposes. So we confess once again, dear God, that as in previous years we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility. Once again we have sent him away, begging to remain his disobedient servants, promising children who cannot keep our word. But the year ahead portends too much darkness without him. The days hang on the horizon of all we can. The week just ended has brought no hope of things getting better and better every day in every way. The heralds of your promises shall surely be lost in a cacophony of a world turning toward darkness. Therefore, we ask of you what you have already assumed in this child. Take our times in your hand. Take our confusion into your keeping. Take our fear and little faith into your great forgiveness. Take our trembling loneliness into the largesse which is your love. Make us resolve that we can accomplish nothing without his grace, that we will follow him into the stables of this city, wherein poverty still resides, that soon we will follow his star despite Herod's power, to the places where weakness reveals the power of love. That we will follow him as we shout our opposition to things as they are. That we will follow him to the cross, to the moment of our death assumed and our lives redeemed. In the meantime, we pray your tenderness upon them that mourn, your healing on them that wait upon your tender mercies, whose names are written on our hearts. We pray your protection on all who are exposed in body and soul to the winds and the waves and the fires and the dragons of darkness. Pray your peace upon them that tremble still under tyrants. Pray your love upon those who cradle love in their arms, upon Jessica and Bruce as they cradle little Bruce, and upon Craig and John as they cradle little Madeline. And we pray your love upon each one here who has traveled to your manger in hopes of seeing our salvation, that our eyes may be opened wide enough to recognize you in the face of those who need you most, the poor and the helpless, the little child and the lonely, the lost and the hopeless, the dying as we are all dying, in the humanity you have assumed and so redeemed from the manger to the cross, and from now to the eternity that you are, where at last we shall see you together as one, face to face. Until that new time, hear us, O Jesu, as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What shall we